Translation of purport by His Divine Grace and Vishnu Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Astotara Sata Sri Shimanesi Bhakti Vedanta Samini Prabhupada. Therefore, O Chief among the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government. Purport. The personality of Kali addressed Maharaj Parikshit as the chief among the protectors of religiosity, because the king refrained from killing a person who surrendered unto him. A surrendered soul should be given all protection, even though he may be an enemy. That is the principle of religion. And we can just imagine what sort of protection is given by the personality of Godhead to the person who surrenders unto him, not as an enemy, but as a devoted servitor. The Lord protects the surrendered souls from all sins and all resultant reactions of sinful acts. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharam parityaja mamikam saranam braja aham tam sarva papibhyo moksha yishami masu chaha. Om Ajahn Hirandasya Chananjaran Salakaya Kakshura Miratandhiya Tasmai Sri Vimla Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Varaha Shiva Sai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. A surrendered soul should be given all protection, even though he may be an enemy. That is the principle of religion. So here, what's happening is Kali Raj has taken complete shelter of Maharaj Parikshit out of fear of his life. And although he deserves to be killed, Parikshit Maharaj has spared his life. And he's actually giving him protection. This is a principle of religion, and that the surrendered souls should be given protection, even on the battlefield. We read sometimes in Krishna book that the demons they're fighting so ferociously that the demigods actually surrender. They take their turbans off their head and they wave their flag. We surrender, we're scared of your power, we admit defeat. So then they won't be killed. The moment they surrender, they won't be killed. It's Katya thing. Not worth fighting with anyway, they haven't got no guts to fight. We like to fight with real men, these are like cowards, they surrender. Anyway, let them go, let them be. We won't kill them, will we? So Prabhupada said, what to speak of, who can imagine what protection that Krishna will give you if you completely surrender unto him? So here in this, excuse me, in this story, this part of the story, we see Kali is such a sinful person, he's a personification of all the sins of this age of Kali. And you may get some strict moralist groups, we're going to clean up everything. And any sinful person, we're going to clean up completely, 100%. And go around and clean up the whole place. But when they come to Kali Raj, certainly they're going to banish him or kill him or do whatever. He doesn't fit in their society. But they cannot do that. Because Parikshit Maharaj is there. And he said, I have given him protection. And when I give protection, nobody can do him any harm. Even though he's a sinful personality, he's taken shelter of me, I'm promised to give him protection. But this is very instructive. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Jivasarupaya Nitya Krishna Das. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. That is our constitution. That cannot be changed. Nitya means it cannot be changed. And now everyone is covered to different degrees by the influence of material nature. Covered means sin. Anything that covers your original relationship, eternal relationship with Krishna is a sin. Whether it's in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance. So everybody is covered to various degrees. Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita just like the fire is covered by smoke, the womb is covered, the environment and the mirror is covered by dust. So the living entity is covered by different degrees of these coverings of sinful activities. But yet they're eternal servants of Krishna. So Krishna seen from that angle of vision, a person who comes, even a person who's not surrendering to him, still he is seeing that angle. He is my child, my son, my part and parcel, my servant. He doesn't belong in the material world suffering. He belongs at my lotus feet in the spiritual world. But he's not surrendering to me. I give him good advice as a super soul in the heart. But if he doesn't voluntarily choose to surrender to me, what can I do? I can only give good guidance. And then there are others who do surrender to Krishna. And Krishna is very happy. Oh, at last they have turned their face and I will give them all assistance, all help in coming to me. But they're all covered by different degrees of sin or lust, Krishna also says. So here Kaliraj, he's sin personified, but he's understood his relationship with Parikshit Maharaj. He's understood the relationship. I'm accepting your authority. Give me shelter. And he's surrendering. And Parikshit Maharaj is taking care of such a sinful person. So similarly, when we understand our relationship with Krishna, Krishna will take care. If we also surrender to Krishna. Krishna will take care from that moment on. Lord Ramachandra says that anybody who says one time, from this day on I am your surrendered servant, I give him all protection. Because that is my natural inclination. Same thing Krishna is saying here, Sarvadhanam Paritajana. I will protect you even if you are the most sinful person. Because you are surrendering to me. You're recognizing. You may not be able to fully surrender because of your sinful activities, but you've chosen the path of surrender. You understand that I'm your master and you're my eternal servant. Therefore, I'll give you all protection. And nobody can do anything about it. Unless I say so. So, Krishna also speaks in Bhagavad Gita that all of my devotees, although engaged in all types of activities, they all come to me. It means that There are different types of devotees. Some are Kama Mishra Bhakti, some are Jnana Mishra Bhakti, some are pure devotees. And Krishna is saying that they all come to me. So Arjuna is putting the proposition, how can I all come to you? Because some are very renounced, completely renounced. Some are full of knowledge. And then others, devotees, you have so many devotees, they're not renounced, they don't have much knowledge, they're engaged in their karmic activities. How can they all come to you? You're saying all of my devotees, engaged in all different acts, they all come to me. And Krishna says, yes, this is by my mercy. They come to me. They're surrendering to me. They're recognizing that I'm your servant. And they're coming to me, although they still have so many attachments in the material world. They're attached to karma kanda, they're attached to jnana kanda, whatever, there's so many attachments, but still they understand that they're Krishna's servants and they're coming to Krishna. So Krishna is seeing that, because they're understanding this point, that I'm your eternal servant, this is their main impetus for coming. And all the disqualifications they have, all the attachments, that's all secondary. It's not really important, although it may occupy most of their whole life. Their absorption in just maintaining family, karma kanda activities, performing out of duty, performing all the regulated duties of life. It seems you would say, well, their karma kandis or jnana kandis attached to some. The Krishna says no, because they're actual bhaktas, they understand they're my eternal servants, but they can't surrender to me completely due to their previous attachments. They still have many attachments, so they can't surrender all of a sudden to me. But the act of devotion, of bhakti, the aspect of bhakti, even though it's much less prominent in their lives, that is supreme, I mean, in terms of prominent, in terms of time given to Krishna or surrendering to Krishna. But that is more prominent in terms of their actual aspiration and goal. So when they have that aspiration, Krishna, I'm returning servant, I'm coming to you, trying to surrender, but I've got so much implications in the material world. He said, then it's not karma bhakti or anything like that. He said, because the main intention is pure devotion to Krishna, to serve Krishna. And Krishna says, I'm seeing that intention behind it. Even though judging them, they may look like karmis or anything. But Krishna said, no, I'm seeing that they come. And by my mercy, they all come to me. So this is the supreme feature of Krishna, of the living entities, of our relationship. This is the supreme feature, that everything should be based on this point, that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, my business is to serve Krishna for his pleasure, favorably if possible. And then everything else falls into place. In other words, the person is situated perfectly. As he can, at least his current consciousness, I know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know I'm his servant, let me engage in his service as much as I can. That person is situated perfectly. Now he may not be able to do much service to Krishna because of his obligation in the material world and his commitments, and I'm too busy. Everybody's saying I'm too busy to serve Krishna. It may be like that, but because he is fixed in his position as the eternal servant of Krishna, then everything else is actually superficial, even though he is occupying most of his day, most of his time. It seems, but it's all superficial. because his consciousness, his understanding that I am Krishna's eternal servant. So when a person has this understanding, then everything else falls into place. And everything else is quickly wound up. Much, much more quickly, his detachments and everything, and knowledge acts much more quickly when he's situated in just the understanding that I am Krishna's eternal servant. Then, much more quickly, then pursuing a path of knowledge, pursuing the path of jnana, performing sacrifices, performing duties nicely to become free from entanglement and to become situated nicely. None of those processes are as effective or as quick as simply understanding the fact that I'm Krishna's eternal servant. Everything else automatically will adjust if that's the main focus of a living entity. And therefore, this is the highest welfare work, Krishna consciousness. And that people can't understand Krishna consciousness. Because it's saying, what do they do? What is this? Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. They're not doing any work, we're out working hard, we're getting society going, we're making everything happen, we're moving, and they're just doing Hare Bol. They can't understand, but that the devotee is perfectly situated, and they're not perfectly situated. They're not depending on Krishna. They're thinking by our endeavors we're going to move everything in favorably how we like it, and the world will go how we like it for sense gratification. So anyone, or any process they take, and or any religion that doesn't also bring a person to this point that he's an eternal servant of God, or any performance of yoga for self-realization that doesn't come to this point, they're sure to be having an identity crisis and simply hovering on the mental platform problems. They don't know who they are. So that's probably 99.9% of the whole world. Because they don't know they're the eternal servants of God, of Krishna. And therefore everybody's having an identity crisis, because that's their identity. So how can we function happily in the world when nobody knows who they are? Everyone's having this identity crisis. Who am I? They don't know who they are. So how can anything function? From yourself, if you don't know who you are, then everything based on that is based on a misunderstanding. Your knowledge and your activities and your whatever you do is based on this. I don't know who I am. So how can anything become perfect? Everything will be imperfect, no matter what path you pursue. It will be imperfect because the basis is imperfection. I don't know who I am, so how can I understand anything? So you see, with hundreds of groups and societies and in the world today, and they're all talking about, you know, moral uplift and become better character, you know, so many different groups, different names, but they're all simply hovering on the mental platform. They've forgotten their eternal relationship, their eternal position. They've moved out of that situation. That sthanam means place, sthiti, where you are situated. Bhagavatam says the same thing. Lord Brahma, in the 10th canto, he's offering prayers to Krishna. It's not that one has to make a big change in his life to become Krishna conscious. In fact, he doesn't have to change anywhere. Stay where you are. You don't have to go to the forest to become the yogi, or in the mountains or the Himalayas, or renounce your family. Lord Brahma says, stay where you are. But just that consciousness, I am eternal servant of Krishna. That's all. Then you are perfectly situated. So you don't have to make a big change of physical change or anything like that, or a dramatic change of, you know, in your work or anything like that. Brahma said, stay where you are, but just adjust that consciousness that I am eternal servant of Krishna. And everything will fall into place. Krishna consciousness is like a freely suspended magnet. If you put a magnet on a bit of string and hold it, it will point north. It will automatically just swing the north attraction will attract, and the magnetic field will. So you don't know where you are, but you've got a magnet, you look like that, you're just looking. But you know, oh, that's north, then you know, no, that must be south, that must be east, that must be west. That's all. You know everything. You didn't go anywhere, you didn't do anything, just look at the magnet. So Krishna, when you are situated, Krishna's Supreme Personality, I'm His eternal servant, you know everything. Everything falls into place. And that famous verse, all the good qualities of the devatas appear in that body of a devotee. Automatically. Automatically. So you don't even have to endeavor for it, all the different types of perfections are in the material world. Everything falls automatically in position when the devotee is situated in his proper position as the eternal servant of Krishna, at least in consciousness. And physically in activity, he may not be able to give his whole life and time and energy to Krishna. But that's not the important point. The important point that he knows that he's the eternal servant of Krishna, and that's his understanding is just based on that, fixed on that. And all of his activities are based. Otherwise, then the whole world is, they're in an unfixed position. What is their position? What is the position of anyone in this material? They don't know who they are. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And therefore you get millions and millions of groups making up their own programs. Well, let's do this, let's do this. So many modern groups today, very popular. You do a little bit of yoga, it's good. A little bit of meditation. A little bit of welfare work. A little bit of exercise, some yoga, or something like that, or jogging or something. You know, you take a little bit of everything good and put it in, and they have all these different programs, you know. And it's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Good things will make you pious and keep away from all those simple activities. But and they're very, very popular, all these groups. And they're a complete speculation. It's good. You can say it's good. It's better than, you know, not following anything. Because they pick good things up. This is good things in life. These are considered moral. So we'll do it. But they just take a little bit, and then they give a program, and you do this, and you'll find you'll be much happier. You'll be a better person. You'll find, even they say you'll find yourself, which you won't, until you become Krishna conscious. But it's all simply a speculation. And basically the whole idea behind it is that somehow or another we do this, I'll be happy in the material world. This is the basis of all their programs they're making ultimately, that we're going to make a happy situation in the material world, which is millions of miles away from Krishna consciousness. And this is the way the world is heading. Prahlad Maharaj is only 5 years old. But at least he's the devotee, he's situated perfectly. His intelligence becomes perfect. He's only 5 years old. He detects, look at these fools and rascals. They're all making a gigantic program for happiness. Maya Shukha, the happiness of Maya. He said, but it's a happiness that will never be. And he's only 5 years old. But because he's the devotee, he can see clearly. But this is the fact, everybody in the material world, every individual in the material world, his program, he's making a program for happiness. Whatever you do in life, you will see the program is actually for happiness, for my happiness. So individually or collectively. And it's all Maya Sukha, the happiness that Maya is offering. I will be happy. Any person, any individual you speak to, what is your goal in life? And he's got some kind of plan for happiness. It all ends in happiness. So everybody's making a plan for happiness. But again, they don't know who they are. So how can happiness come from bewilderment? You're in a bewildered position, you're making a program for happiness. How is it possible? The basis is bewilderment, ignorance. and you're trying to establish some perfect platform of happiness. It's not possible. But you become situated perfectly as Krishna's servant. Then any program you make, yes, at least it's based on truth. So then again, things will fall into place. When you see what's truth, you see what's untruth. So naturally you won't accept even so-called good things of the material world, because they're untruth. They don't have any relationship to Krishna and you and your service to Krishna. Then it's untrue. So simply by this act of surrendering, Krishna will give anyone protection. It doesn't mean that he has to become a pure devotee overnight and Krishna says, I'm only taking care of my pure devotees. No. You desire that. At least at the understanding that I am Krishna. I don't understand you. Sanatana Goswami said, I'm a king. They're calling me Pandit because I know Persian, Urdu, Sanskrit. I'm a minister. He was intelligent. Nawab Hussain Shah put him in charge of the area. He was a minister. He had to deal with so many things. That means you have to be very intelligent. He approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a blade of grass between his teeth. They're calling me a big Pandit, but I'm such a Pandit, I do not know who I am. I'm a king. And as a result of this, I don't know why I'm suffering. Why the material world is always putting me in suffering. I don't want suffering, I want happiness. I'm making a program for happiness. Why am I not getting it? Why these three cold mercies don't let me fulfill my program? I'm making a big program for happiness. Everybody's saying, why we can't get it? And we've been trying since time immemorial. And every time we're defeated, death comes at the end. Get out of that happy situation you've worked for so hard for your whole life to get this happy situation. I got it, I finally got it. Of course, usually you're retired by then, you're too old to enjoy it anyway. But even now I got my pension, I'm retired. I'm fagged out, I'm working so hard, now I can enjoy the last year. And death comes along. Okay, get out of that situation again, back into another situation. Another time, work hard, make another program for happiness. And we tried it billions and billions of times. And it doesn't work. The proof is, ask anyone in the world, are you happy? And they'll tell you, well, yeah, sure. I just got a few little problems to get over, but otherwise, basically I'm happy. But they never get over these problems. They've always got these problems. This Durga Devi, she's got the threshold. Adi Bhautik, Adi Devik, Adi Atmik. And at any one given time, she's stabbing you with one of these points, or two of these points, or three of the points, at a time. At any given time, there is something wrong with your body, with your mind, problems with your mind, problems from others, natural disaster. You're never free from it. At any one given point, you meditate on your body, there's some complaint. You can't even sit down for 2 minutes comfortably. You can't even sit down and be comfortable in the material world. 1 or 2 minutes you have to shift. This is Durga Devi. She won't let you be happy. This is Pung. She's all the time prodding. Any given time. Adi Bhautik, Adi Devik, Adi Atmik. You are never free from these miseries. So everybody's, no, we are happy. My basic happiness. Just got a few little things to clear up, or on a bigger scale, medicine is so great. We've wiped out this disease. We're really making advancement. We just got a few more to get rid of. And everybody's promising this, we're making a big stride, we make gigantic strides in scientific research, and we just got a few more hurdles to get over, and it's all a false promise of happiness. It's all false. You didn't get it in the past. You haven't got it at the moment, because we're not happy at the moment. So why accept the promises of the future? They're promising. This keeps everybody jacked up, you see. in the future, you know. Life comes from a combination of chemicals, Sri Dhammadharma. So we give you the chemicals, can you produce them? Well, at the moment, we can, but in the future, we are getting very close. That Prabhupada said that means no. Can you do it? Well, in the future, it means no. But they're always saying this, we make such great strides now in human civilization, global. And they just take it up. But they haven't got it. It means no. We haven't got it now, but in the future. But you never had it in the past. You haven't got happiness now. Why? What is their guarantee of the future? How can they say that? They didn't prove it in the past. They're not proving it at the present. Why we should believe their foolish statements? In the future, the world's going to be all nice and happy, and we're all going to live happily ever after. Maya Shukma. The happiness of Maya. So, unless a person is Krishna conscious, or at least understanding, he's the eternal servant of God, he has the eternal relationship, he's going to be nowhere else except in this Maya Shukma. That's all. He's simply going to be making a program for his happiness. That's all. He's not going to be doing anything else. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in search of happiness, people jump off mountains. They kill themselves for ultimate happiness. Or drown themselves in the ocean for happiness. I'm not happy. Goodbye, cruel world. Or the Gyanis sometimes, they should go to the Himalayas and let me be, just try to absorb my mind in Brahman. Nothing. Have no desire and fix and jump off the mountain and I fall and when I die I'll be just fixed in no desire, nothing. For happiness. The kings wage wars to get more proper happiness. Men run after women for happiness. Men work hard for happiness. Everybody's making a program for happiness. Nityananda Prabhu says, why are you making a big program for happiness? It takes you so much hard work, so much endeavor for your program. Everybody's working to get their happiness. It's really hard work and endeavor. Why are you making so much endeavor? Mahaprabhu was giving happiness freely, a happiness that you can't even comprehend. This is such a happiness that you can't even comprehend what kind of happiness. And he's giving freely. Here, take it. Why are you going another way and making a big program and working so hard to get a little bit temporary flickering happiness? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, he's giving you basketfuls of as much as you want, bliss, spiritual bliss freely. Why don't you take it? This is Nityananda's proposition. Mahaprabhu's proposition. And many took it when Mahaprabhu was here. Many are taking it. But many also couldn't take it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur always says, he gives, what is the symptom of a person who cannot take what Nityananda Prabhu is here? He said the symptom is that he is very much proud of his own intelligence and ability to get his, to make a happy program in the world. Whatever they're doing, I can get it. They're proud of their ability to be able to follow this path, follow this program. He said this is a symptom of their foolishness. Because Mahaprabhu was giving something millions of times greater than that freely. You don't have to work hard for it, you just simply have to accept it. But if you're proud of your intelligence, that you can actually become happy by your own program, he said this is the symptom of your foolishness. So we should give up all these foolish programs. that we think we can be happy by, and simply situate ourselves as Krishna's eternal soul. I read something from the Bhagavad Gita. This is by the Vishnu Chakrabari Thakur. He's speaking about this verse, Savadanam Parityaja. He's given a little synopsis of it. So Krishna is speaking there in the 18th chapter about you control your mind, control the senses, etc., etc., etc. And then he comes to the Brahma Buddha platform. So then Arjuna asks, what happens after attaining the devotion? And Krishna says, then he knows me as I am, Arjuna. He may be either a jnani or some type of devotee, but he knows me by devotion. And I can only be known by devotion, no other process. The knowledge of the jnani who knows me goes beyond the mode of goodness. He attains Sayuja Mukti and enters into me, free from knowledge or ignorance, beyond Maya. At that point he realizes me. Arjuna, you are saying bhakti is transcendental, Krishna, beyond the modes and beyond knowledge. But in the Narada Pancharatra it mentions that bhakti is a part of knowledge. How are you saying that bhakti is beyond knowledge? Krishna says, it is mentioned as a part of knowledge to make jnana, yoga and karma yoga successful, Arjuna. But it is a part of the internal pleasure potency and it's never material. Bhakti is never part of the three modes of material nature or part of knowledge. Knowledge is simply a tool to get rid of ignorance. But after that, positive knowledge of Krishna comes only from transcendental bhakti. In the mode of goodness, knowledge comes. But that knowledge is also in the mode of goodness. But knowledge of devotional service is beyond the modes, and it is called bhakti. It is bhakti, although sometimes it's called knowledge. So there are two types of knowledge, knowledge in the mode of goodness and knowledge of bhakti. In this way, after gradually giving up fruits of activity, then giving up the activity, and then giving up knowledge itself, one attains liberation. Arjuna says, how does your devotee attain you, Krishna? Krishna says, although they're engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotees, under my protection, he reaches the eternal imperishable abode of Vrindavan Mathura, or Dwarka, by my grace. Arjuna said, this doesn't sound logical, Krishna. A jnani takes many births, bhavanam jamana, thousands and thousands of births, and he performs austerities for so long, and he undergoes so much difficulty. How is it possible that a devotee who only has a little knowledge and isn't even renounced attains your eternal abode so easily? What is the logic? Krishna says, the logic is that it's beyond logic. That is the logic. It is by my mercy has inconceivable power in it. Therefore, in all activities, just depend on me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me, and I will take care fully of you. You are speaking in general, Krishna, but what is your specific order for me? Shall I perform unalloyed devotion or devotion mixed with material motives? Krishna said, you aren't qualified to perform pure devotion, Arjuna. But at the same time, you're above performing Shakam Bhakti. Therefore, you should perform devotion that is in between these two platforms. You should become a Madhyam Bhakta. Arjuna says, what shall I do, Krishna? Krishna said, perform your prescribed duties and offer them to me, making me your goal. Do not have material goals. Perform your duties without the ego of being the doer. In your mind, make me the object of your work and remember me in all that you do. Surrender to me and then act. Do not perform your activity and then surrender. In other words, surrender your consciousness as you perform the activity. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. I am the friend of my devotee and I give myself to them and solve all their problems. So don't worry. But if you do not listen because of your pride, you will be lost. Arjuna said, it is a fact that I am a Kshatriya and it's my nature to fight. But if I fight and kill my relatives, I'll incur sins, so I don't want to fight. Krishna said, in a raised voice, if you say you are a Kshatriya and must be religious, and you should fear killing, and you should fear killing the Guru or Brahmanas, and if you decide not to fight, then I say your decision is useless. People will criticize you and mock you for fighting. And then you'll fight anyway, and I laugh at you. If you don't listen to my words, my Maya will assume the form of Rajagun and make you fight nonetheless. You have your own nature from previous samskara, and you will be forced to act just like a puppet. Arjuna said, yes, Krishna, I know. But Krishna says, hey Arjuna, if you think you're a great scholar, you should know that the super soul in the heart of all living beings, from Brahma to the insect, and his Lord rotates their bodies. According to their karma, each has a separate body made of Maya, and the soul is riding on these machines, and the Lord rotates them. He is like a puppeteer who makes his puppets move. O Skyana Bharat, he is inside you as a super soul. Ultimately, you're under his control. So surrender unto him utterly. Let him guide you. By his grace, you will attain eternal transcendental peace and the supreme abode. Take shelter of the super soul with your mind, body and words, and you will become completely free from all miseries. Hey Partha, you should know that the super soul is also me, your friend. I have told you to surrender unto him as if to someone else, but you have already understood that I am that super soul. So become situated in my instructions and act. I will thus end my teachings, for now I have explained to you knowledge about karma, jnana and yoga. This is most secret, for this knowledge has not been revealed in all the writings of Vasishtha or Badranayana. Even the sages do not completely understand this. It is so confidential that I have not given it to them. But I have given it to you. So deliberate on it fully, then do what you wish to do. Lord Krishna observed Arjuna's silence as Arjuna was deliberating on the meaning of his instructions. Thus Krishna became compassionate and his heart melted just like butter. He pointed to his dear friend Arjuna and spoke, because you are my very dear friend, I will now speak the essence of all I have spoken in 8 verses. This is my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. This is what I feel is most beneficial for you. Therefore, you should act upon it. First, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way, give your senses to me. And since the mind is the king of the senses, if you think of me, the rest will follow. Perform kirtan. Hear about me, take darshan of my deity, offer chandan, umbrella, achamara, engage all your senses in rendering service to me, offer incense, flowers, ghee lamp and boga, become my pujari, or if you could do nothing else, then offer your obeisances unto me, either ashtanga or panchanga obeisances. And if devotion is there in any activity, it will be pleasing. Out of these 4, do all of them, or at least one of them, and you will attain me. If you offer these to me, then what will I give you? I'll give my very self to you. To you, not to anyone else. I promise you. So please, do not have any doubts. Arjuna said, but people from Mathura are always promising this and that. In every sentence they speak, I cannot really believe you because you are from Mathura. Krishna, I'm raising my hand and taking an oath, Arjuna. I declare that you are dear to me. Even though the people from Mathura tell lies and cheat, they never cheat those they love. You are not only dear to me, but most dear. So have no doubt. One who loves me wins my reciprocation in the same manner. I will not be able to tolerate separation from you. I have to bring you back to me. So believe my words that you will definitely come to me. Arjuna said, you have said so many things. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me. Make it simple, Krishna. Say one thing. Krishna said, just abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me. With this one thing, Arjuna, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Arjuna said, give up all varieties of religion. How is that? Yes, give up all religious obligations, like Vana and Ashram, and take full shelter of me alone. I know that you are not ready to take sannyas, so keep your duty and surrender the fruits. One should engage in one's duties until one becomes very attached to hearing my pastimes. Knowing the strengths and the so-called defects of all my instructions, and seeing them in perspective, one can act properly. Previously, I said that you were not qualified to become my unalloyed devotee, and I instructed you in this karma karma. Like, yat kuroshi, yat ashni. Whatever you do, do to me. Whatever you offer unto me. That was karma mishra bhakti. But now, my heart is overflowing with mercy. Now, out of compassion, I blessed you. I've made you qualified for unalloyed devotional service. This can be obtained only by the mercy of my pure devotees. So I've broken this rule. I'm granting this to you directly myself. Do not think that you'll incur sins by not performing your daily and occasional duties. The Vedas have said to do these, but I spoke the Vedas, and now I am asking you to renounce them. So you perform your conventional duties now. So, if you perform your conventional duties now and disrespect my words, that will be sinful. If I surrender to you, ignoring established morality and all commitments, then should I not worry? You are the Lord, and if you desire me to engage in irreligious activity, what will be my fate? Krishna said, I will save you from all sinful reactions in the past, present, and future. I have all power. I am not incapable of doing it. It is my responsibility to deliver you from the sin of neglecting your prescribed duty. Do not minimize my power. I am making you the object of instruction to humanity by speaking to you. Do not worry about your destination. The entire universe can give up all their activities and engage happily in my devotional service. The responsibility for their sins is mine. The responsibility for bringing them to me is also mine, as is the responsibility to maintain their bodies. As I've said before, and I say again, Arjuna, you shouldn't lament that, oh, the Lord has taken this responsibility and it is a burden for him. It is not a burden for me, no. For I am such a sankalpa. My desire is truth. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki. So he has given us a lot of conviction here that he is completely taking care and protection for anybody who takes shelter of his lotus feet and surrenders. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Sri Prabhupada ki. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki. Nityai Gopremanam ki. Thank you very much. Any comment or question? Yes, ma'am. It's called Gitamrita, and it's it's by Purnachandra Das. Punachandra, yoga guru. And he's taken a lot from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. He's put up, and Baladeva and Srila Prabhupada's, he's kind of written it in the... Thank you.